Is he my prince? Is he the toad? Waiting, wondering, is getting too old. I'm gonna let down my hair, slide up my skirt. Welcome to the Shame-Free Zone with Veronica Monet, your friendly former sex worker and certified sexologist. The Shame-Free Zone is a safe place for your questions and your secrets about all things sexual.
And hi there, it's Veronica Monet. This is the Shame-Free Zone. Tonight we are going to be talking about sexual intelligence. There's a brand new book coming out. My guest is Elspeth Moit and Freddie Zentel Weaver. Actually, that's Dr. Elizabeth Moit and Freddie Zentel Weaver. And we've actually been friends, colleagues, for quite some time, so I'm just so thrilled to welcome both of you to the Shame-Free Zone.
Hi.
Hi. Freddie, you just have such a great voice. You should be in radio.
But, well, I am right now with you.
Yes, you are right now. You actually do quite a bit of stage productions.
Yes, right? Yes. I perform and we also teach, so we're constantly putting our voices out there.
You guys teach a lot of workshops.
Yeah, and
you're based out of Chicago, but I think you've traveled quite a bit with your workshops.
Yeah, we're pretty international now. We were down in Australia last year, and we're going to Europe next month, and mostly though in the United States and Chicago.
Well, I follow you through your newsletter, and I've just been amazed and thrilled to see the way things have snowballed for you. Mm-hmm. And I know that you were featured on Showtime's documentary Sexual Healing, but I think this Emmy Award-winning NBC show Starting Over, that sounds like something new.
That was on for, I think, 3 seasons, and we did the Starting Over show with Showtime and Dr. Laura Berman about four years ago, I guess, and that was 9 episodes.
Was Starting Over a documentary or a drama?
That's more.
It was a drama. It was like a reality show thing. Yeah.
Reality show. Well, what did you do for that show?
Oh, they worked with women, literally assisted them in starting over, and there was one segment when they had, you know, the sexual intimate and some healing of some stories. One woman had around her sexual being, so they brought us in.
Mm-hmm. That is so cool. It kind of reminds me of when Susie Bright did a cameo appearance on 6 Feet Under, which was a drama on Showtime.
Yes.
Yeah, so she wrote the episode, and so then she got to do a little starring cameo in it as herself.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, the work we did with the Sexual Healing show was much more extensive, and it was over 9 episodes, and we worked with 24 couples, and
wow.
We have actually clips on our website of that, and it really, you can really see how these practices really assist in just allowing someone to connect with what they're feeling and being able to make requests and speak it, you know. So.
How did you feel about being on a reality show? I've been on a lot of television, but I've shied away from the reality shows because I thought they'd be a little too intrusive. What was it like for you?
Yeah, the Showtime show was done quite tastefully, and particularly when we worked with the couples, it was just very, a certain depth was possible that we could reach with them, and, you know, some work really made a difference, like a lasting difference.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was also, of course, like the typical reality show kind of, you know, they had an accident, and then they're swearing, and the drama.
Yes,
know?
Exactly.
So
they weren't voting them off an island, I hope.
No. Whenever there's sex involved, though, there's always intrigue, you know.
Oh, of course. Of course. Yes. These so-called reality shows. Anyway, I'm sure your part was super real.
Yeah,
and congratulations. And you've also got a best-selling DVD series called Creating Intimacy and Love.
Yes, it's like a home study program that we put together for people both who have worked with us as well as also people who may never work with us because it's just not, it's too far for them or financially not possible. And that is a good way of, you know, learning the foundations and then also learning more about some advanced work that we show on the second DVD, the Discovery of Sexual Spiritual Connection.
Mm.
You're both certified tantra teachers. Who are you certified through? Is that Marga Anand or?
Charles Muia and Caroline Muia.
Oh.
Yeah, out in Maui when they still were there.
And, yeah, I had Carolyn on my show not too long ago.
Mm-hmm. Oh, isn't
that great? They're kind of the Bible on tantra. So you know, it's interesting. I'm on a sexologist group on LinkedIn, and there's a woman in the United Kingdom. I'm not going to say her name, but she's written a self-published book. She's not really a researcher or a certified expert of any kind, but she's really adamant that for women, orgasms, if it's a real orgasm, it occurs in the clitoris. And there's, of course, been such a push to own the female orgasm ideologically over the last few decades. You know, Freud thought the clitoral orgasms were immature. Masters and Johnson thought clitoral orgasms were the only thing that existed. I wonder if when you're working with people who are trying to learn about tantra or want to somehow or another, you know, enhance their sexual experience, do you ever run into this obstacle of people not getting the whole thing about energy?
Well, it's really starting in what we do in our programs are we start people with the very foundations of energy in terms of first tuning into internal listening, you know, breathing, you know, first off, that's energy. And then we take them through a process of, you know, teaching them the parasympathetic breathing, belly breathing, which can be the process of quieting the mind so that we can start to listen away from our thoughts. And then, of course, we introduce the energy centers, you know, because it's all energy. There's an emotional energy body. There's a physical energy body. And it's, and so, and there's something we use that's really fun. It's called an energy ball. And usually when we show the energy ball, people really get that there's something more than just this physical reality, that it's all connected and that we're just a denser form of energy, but that it's all energy. So once people start to get that concept and then start to experience it through some of the practices, we can then introduce the sexual, active sexual ritual practices. And then there's a little foundation for a listening place, you know.
Yeah, also the energy ball really demonstrates visually through open and closed circuits. So when the ball is touched on two ends, a minus and a plus end, then the ball lights up. So I can do this either by myself, close the circuit, or Freddy Santal and I. We can connect with the ball. He touches with one finger on one side of the ball. I touch with my finger on the other side of the ball. We connect our the other free hand with each other. And so the ball lights up. And we can do this with whole groups. So people can really see visually that there's an energetic connection.
Mm.
And that often breaks the ice of the doubting, the questioning, you know, if there's really a vibrational connection amongst people, although we believe it with cell phones, you know, otherwise...
Oh, yes, right. Yeah.
Or, you know, like also when we say, you know, you cannot hear, I mean, that's not the case here at this radio show because people cannot see us, the listeners, but when we are in a room with a group of people, they can hear my voice when I speak because the frequencies travel from my vocal cords to their eardrums, but they cannot see them. So we can hear vibrations, but we frequently don't see them. We can see when it shows up in light. So anyway, back to the human energy, it's something we don't get introduced to. We don't have a course in high school or college about human energy. And so as Freddie mentioned, we really start with the basics, where there are three aspects where we start out. One is the conscious breath, as Freddie mentioned. Then becoming the observer, which we, you know, connect with a meditative space. And the third one is listening to one's energy flow and learning distinctions, how to listen for that. And that is develops the foundation before we ever go to any kind of aroused energy. And then, you know, actually, I think perhaps also when people come here, they want to learn more about, you know, stuff that might not be as obvious. So they might be open to learning more about their own energy.
Yes, exactly. And I, you know, I know when I'm teaching classes, I really, I start off, I try to get people to realize they're not a microwave or a television or a smartphone. And so I'm not going to show them where the magic button is. And then they're going to, you know, here's the user manual. It's like you're a sentient being. You're a holistic entity. You have, you know, electrical, chemical, you
emotional,
know.
Emotional, spiritual, physical.
Yes.
Whole cybernetic connected, yes.
Yeah. And it is this whole process.
You know,
but that's
what
What
I find really useful when people start getting it more is that seeing that there are different ways how energy can manifest. You know, if I have a knot in my stomach, that's an energetic constriction. Or that can be also connected with feeling angry. You know, usually when I'm angry, when I'm pissed, I get some tightness in my stomach. So, oh yeah, there are different ways of energy to show up. So in a feeling state, in a physical manifestation state, and then of course also in the sexual, you know, people are familiar with aroused energy. That's energy. So it becomes more accessible or something. Oh, yeah. I mean, of course, you know.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry about that little interruption there. You know, every once in a while we have some technical difficulties here in the shame-free zone. Elspeth, I think you were saying, go ahead.
So to make it just very, you know, bottom line, understandable, and drawing on experiences people already have of energy, and they may not call it energy.
Yes.
What I also find is that people are interested in exploring and learning more about their sexual, their aroused energy. And so if I want to do that, I first need to find out more what it means to listen to my life force energy running through me all the time. Most of the time it's in a subtle state, and then at certain times it's aroused. And so that is, you know, how we start out introducing
right.
people to it.
It's true. You know, I have run into the same difficulty actually when I'm teaching anger management, because so much of anger management is helping people to tune into what happens to their physiology just before they lose control.
Right. So. Yeah, and once they can develop that observer through meditative practices, and get that they can, you know, tap into the energy shifts before it becomes a story, before they get the results in this physics of whatever the incident is unfolding, then they can begin to shift and they can become alchemists in their life, which is the bottom line to all this. How can we be more creative and loving and open and fulfilled in our life in this time?
And Freddie, I mean, that's an interesting point. And you talk about meditation. For some people, that's a really scary term. They will think that you have to get lots of training or have lots of experience or be spiritually ascended or something in order to be able to master meditation. Can you make that a little more user-friendly for our listeners?
Absolutely.
Are there simple ways to do meditation?
Right. So the mind, which is our, as is all of our conundrum, is a very busy place where these big brain Homo sapiens have been figuring out the universe for millennia, and the mind won't stop. And if it doesn't have something to fix or figure out, which has served us well, we understand our place in the universe, and we live longer, and we have computers, and all this wonderful creative energy that's come out of the usefulness of our mind. But if we don't practice being still, the stories just come, and it comes from the ego, the survival mind, and old stories. So what we do is just trick the mind and give it something to focus on. You know, so what we teach is parasympathetic breathing. So we breathe typically sympathetically, just automatically. We don't have to think about it. To breathe parasympathetically, we have to extend our diaphragm, which requires us to put some focus from our mind's consciousness on it. And in doing that, we lose track of whatever the thought might be, and we have to focus on the breath. Now, for most of us, we can only do it for two or three breaths, but as you continue to practice the conscious belly breathing, it gets longer and longer and longer periods of time that you can do it. And that's what we teach, and that really begins to give people a sense of how busy and out of control their thinking is.
Yes, and I call it the hamster wheel. People get so fixated.
Right. We all know the hamster wheel.
Yeah, it's like, oh, they have the same thought over and over and over again. Well, if I could only do this, if I could only do this, if I could only do this. It's like, stop!
Right. It's very subtle. It's a very subtle thing. It slips in on us. You know, it's most of us, most people will argue that there's something more than this very moment, that life's going to happen sometime in the future, or that the past is where it all lives, or, you know. And so it's like really to get that we are, like you said, sentient beings and that we have choice. Yet it doesn't feel like we have choice when the rain falls from the sky, and I go, oh, it's a lousy day, you know, if you say so. Or, you know, yeah, I'm pissed off. Did you see that guy pull in front of me on the highway? You know, wouldn't you be pissed off? Well, actually, I would choose to feel something different. And you can choose to feel something different, too. But it doesn't feel like that, you know. It feels like there's no, I don't have any choice. You know, I have to, you know, and that's the ego. And that's the, you know, so once we can start to develop, again, this witness place, we can start to see that we can shift and change in any moment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
would
I mean, for God's sake, even my dog makes choices about how she's going to respond to stimuli. he does. She's very smart.
We love our animals. They're like our spiritual guides, you know.
Oh, I think they're great teachers. If we just slow down a little bit more and pay attention.
Yeah, we
Veronica, would it be all right if Freddie Santal led us in a brief breathing meditation just to bring get the point across?
I would love that. How long would it
very
be?
Very short, just very short. Would you
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm all for it. Bring it on.
Great. So everybody in the listening audience, if you just sit with your legs uncrossed and bring your awareness to your breath. So I want you to, with your conscious thinking, follow your breath consciously into the nose, down your trachea, into your lungs, extending into your diaphragm and your belly like a big balloon on your inhalation. Follow with your consciousness, your breath back up and out. Again, follow with your consciousness, the breath coming into the nose, down the trachea, follow it all the way into the lungs, into the belly like a big balloon. Allowing the breath to exhale, all in your own pace, depth, and rhythm. Just breathing and being. Into the nose, into your lungs, extending into your belly like a big balloon on your inhalation. Exhaling back up and out. all in your own pace, depth, and rhythm. Just giving the busy mind a rest for a few moments, breathing and being. All there is, just a few more breaths. Breathing into the nose, into the lungs, extending into the belly like a big balloon on the inhalation. Exhaling back up and out, your own pace, depth, and rhythm. Ah, beautiful. Now just coming back into the space, opening your eyes with a soft focus, and just take note of how you feel. Great. And it just begins with that. Just a few moments each day can make a huge difference in how you interact with your colleagues at work, your children in your home, your neighbors, people in the elevator.
Your beloved.
And I think also how we sit in our own bodies, whether we're running a lot of adrenaline and stressing ourselves out, or if we are, you know, meeting the day's challenges with a certain amount of serenity.
Yeah.
It's amazing that we're not taught these things at an early age. It's like we're kind of left on our own to manage our own thoughts and emotions.
It's like we're kind of new to this higher mind, new to this awareness of our own existence, you know, if you, you know, compare us to the universe. And, you know, so we're these big-brained Homo sapiens, but we're like children, you know. So to think, to get that we really are, can shift, we are gods, you know. It's like we are a spark of that divine, and when we are in our creative selves, we're as close to that divinity as I think we get. You know, we're creating, you know, a good feeling, creating a new idea, creating how we're raising a child, creating, teaching, creating whatever we're doing in our life. You know, we are that same expanding universe, you know, so we're pretty new at this, and I think we're just kind of like, you know, kids in a toy store right now, and so we're going to come back to that, to that meditative, you know, if we're going to make that next spiritual quantum leap to really seeing ourselves and each other and feeding all the children on the planet, nuclear disarmament and a green planet, we've got to get the sexual piece, you know, which is the love energy.
I think that's the thing that is a glaring omission in all of our peace talks. We don't seem to address this incredibly unhealthy connection that we have around our sexuality, and it's really sad to me because there's so much research out there that shows that cultures that have a sex positive culture tend to be less violent, and you know, but it seems like instead, and the Supreme Court just did it again. They were trying to possibly put some parental warnings on these excessively violent video games so that they couldn't be sold to, you know, underage children. And Justice Scalia said, well, we're not ready to censor video games, but if we do, it will be because of the sex, never the violence.
So we're an evolving humanity. That's why we need more shows like yours and you to stay strong and us to keep doing our work. And you know, we're writing this book, Sexual Intelligence, and we're talking about, you know, really that systemic relationship of that creativity and pleasure. And
how do you define sexual intelligence? Obviously, that's the name of your book, but how do you define that phrase?
So sexual intelligence, as we use it, has two aspects. One is that there is an intelligence in that energy that actually sparks and brings forth all life. So without that energy, without that spark, none of us would be sitting here on the phone or on the listening to the show. So there is, and then when we look at our bodies and our beings, it's quite miraculous how this works and, you know, keeps going without having to plug ourselves in to the outlet every morning so that our heart would keep going. So there is an intelligence in that life force energy that is sexual in nature. And this energy is also creative, or it comes with creativity and pleasure. And Freddie, do you want to say a little bit more about that part?
Right. So creativity and pleasure are inherent in sexual energy, whether you're listening to this radio show or believe or not believe. When we're in our sexual energy, our chemicals change, oxytocin's released, endorphins are enhanced, our emotions, we're more loving, open, vulnerable, receptive, we change. So, and what's interesting, and it's creative, it creates life, and it feels good. What's interesting is creativity and pleasure show up everywhere in life, the work we do, the people we're around, where we live. And wherever it shows up, things are working. You know, it supports existence. So what we talk about in sexual intelligence is being able to draw on sexual energy as a foundation, a place to listen from and live from. And it's like when we're in, it's like if you think of sexual energy as so fundamental that without it, again, we wouldn't be here. Anything creative or pleasurable could be considered sexual. So when we're in that place, anywhere in our life, we're tapped into that creative, godlike energy.
Yes, absolutely.
So what we talk about are practices that integrate.
That integrate.
Integrating, I'm looking at my partner over here. She was.
Oh, you guys having a moment?
Yeah, she was doing something over there. I don't know what she's doing. But that integrate, that aspect of ourselves with the rest of the connection that we share. And integrate that creative process, which is, something that we often miss in terms of, our linear thinking. So it's an integration of the thinking aspect that we are and that energetic piece that is creative and pleasurable. And then from that place, we live forward.
Yeah, I know I get asked as a sexologist, what's my definition of sex? Because when you come right down to it, sex is not an easy thing to define. For me, it's all about the energy. And I'm picking up sexual energy in the universe all the time. I see it in the weather. I see it in the plants. I see it in the animals. To me, it's a sexual universe.
Right.
And that is the core reality. That is the it's right down there at the atomic level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also think it's important to distinguish here between or to make clear that the way you use the term sexual, is an expanded way, because so frequently the term sexual is understood as the sex act or related to the sex act and, very, very closely or tightly, connected to that. However, that sexual energy can just show up in many different ways and different ranges. And we like to call it life force energy, because people get a little bit, it's like that godly, that energy that, has us be alive and the plants alive and the animals alive.
Mm.
So just also for the listeners that we expand, and I hear you say that too, we expand that terminology to go beyond, the act in the bedroom.
It is. I really love to, I don't know if this is true or not, but when I was growing up, I always heard that Alaskans had like 300 words for snow because they're surrounded by it, and there was all these different kinds of snow. And it would just be fabulous if we had 300 different words for sex, so that we could make those distinctions between this is procreative sex and this is friction sex and this is breath sex,
Creative sex, yes.
Yes, yeah.
Well, I think that we're creating that now. And that will become more and more common knowledge, because there is a very limited definition of what sex is, and typically it's enshrouded in shame and fear and guilt and old stories and, lust and broken hearts and
a lot of expectations.
And lots of expectations.
Yeah, a lot of expectations and performance anxiety.
Yeah, yeah. So when we talk about drawing on this energy in a positive way, all we've got is a lot of loaded stories. You know, so it's really an undoing of all of that. But it's interesting to be doing this work for the last 12 years. Elspeth and I, and I was first introduced to these practices when I was 15 and been in and out of it, reading books and doing workshops, and then going through Charles's certification program really gave myself a good grounding in teaching this. And then over the last 12 years, I've learned so much. But it's really loaded, and people, you know, come to it. Anybody in a body, really, if they come willingly, can get and drop in to the fact of being able to shift the stuff in their life that seems to be the suffering, you know. And that, for me, is really the juice in this, is really using and seeing how we can use the sexual energetic as a doorway to more intimately getting to that stuff we don't see about how we're creating our life.
I think there is so much richness in what you just said, and this is where my work really intersects with yours. I think a lot of people will think, oh, well, you're teaching sex, so I guess you want people to have, you know, great orgasms. Yes, that's true. But the larger goal for me is really about helping people's lives to be balanced and spiritually centered. So, you know, you mentioned sacred sexuality, and this is not an easy concept for a lot of people to grasp. I know when I first told my mother that I was going to be teaching sacred sexuality, she literally said, is that some kind of ritual in the field where everybody gets naked and has an orgy? Because in her mind, it was something that the ancient Israelites did when they rebelled against God.
Been fascinated about sex a long time.
I'm telling you, if you know your Old Testament Bible, it's kind of funny. There was a golden calf and everything. So,
yes.
So for anybody who finds the word sacred sex either daunting, as in, oh, this is totally inaccessible to me, or frightening because they think it, you know, it invokes some kind of pagan ritual, can you kind of clear that up for the listeners?
Yeah, we also like call it like bringing consciousness to our life force of sexual energy. We as humans, we have the capacity to be self-reflective. And unlike animals, you know, that they are in the moment and experience in the moment, they are not concerned about, you know, 2 minutes after they were in heat. They don't have the conversation about, oh, that was really a good fuck, you know?
You know, I'm going to have to disagree with you, Elspeth, but the animals is my expertise here. And we don't need to turn this conversation into that about animals, but I actually could give you a whole bunch of research that would just say that what you said was totally wrong. But let's just focus on what human beings want to do without having to posit them as being superior to animals. What is it that people can do to bring the sacred into their sexuality?
That what the possibility there is that we can be our own witness, and we can really not only observe, but we can reflect upon ourselves, and we can also do this with our sexual, with our life force energy. So we can then use that energy not only for procreation, but also to fuel our dreams, to fuel our relationships, our intimate relationship, as well as, use that energy to build more, stronger relationships with our children. We can really channel that energy into whatever form we choose to. Now, of course, that needs to be cultivated because, again, that's not something we learn, you know, in high school or college.
No, and you guys actually teach very specific skills, conscious breath, meditation, energy awareness, both in the non-aroused and the aroused state. Is that true?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you explain? explain that? What do you mean non-aroused and aroused state? And what would that actually look like? Maybe give our listeners some idea of, are the clothes on? Are they off? Is just a group of people? Is there a ritual? Is it outdoors, indoors, you know?
It's all of that and, you know, all of that. So we have...
No, the clothes on are off. So when people come to us, either in one-on-one sessions or group workshops, then initially we work, you know, we do meditation, we introduce people to energy and to sensing energy. They're very concrete, practical practices to the conscious breath and to become the witness of one's physical state, of one's emotional state, and to learn to be present to what is versus living in resisting it or not wanting it or wanting something all the time. You know, so just being with what is. And that prepares then to just notice energy flowing through us. Like right now, I consider the energy that runs through my body is non-aroused. So I'm not sexually aroused, you know, yet I am sexually connected with myself. I can feel my pelvic floor. I can feel my breath moving through me. And anybody who listens could do this as well if they brought their awareness, their witness to themselves.
Mm.
Don't know if that spoke to what you were
asking. And also when we talk about the sexual energy body or just subtle energy body, when we think of sex as, again, anything pleasurable, then just even the breath with no thinking can be as pleasurable as an orgasm. When we tune in to the energy at those subtle levels, when we start listening from that zero place, which the meditative mind can assist
us
in, and we start working with sexual energy at its subtle levels and then on a more aroused level, we can start to get the connection and we start to let go of some of the conversations that we live in around this energy. Then we can start to tap into that sensation of energy as it relates to even other areas of life. When we come out of that and get into a thing with our partners or we are in our creative, you know, process in our life and we start to tap in and listen, instead of, well, I hate my job and but 30 more years of retirement, what am I going to do? We start listening from another place. I've seen it over and over again, the 12 years in working with thousands of individuals and couples around the world now. I've seen people shift. They come in with an intention of what they want to get out of this work, and then things just start showing up in their life.
You were talking about it being as pleasurable as an orgasm. Mm-hmm. I certainly have had some energy states brought about by sacred sexual practices that where I felt like the orgasm would have been a deleterious energy. I just like I didn't want to have the orgasm. I wanted to stay with this beautiful energy. And I remember one time in particular where I stayed with this energy for a month.
Mm.
So it is really there are some altered states that we can assume. Mm-hmm. I think in sacred sexual practices and meditation too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I when I'm in a creative state of creating whatever it might be, music or whatever it might be, doing my show, there's a sense of that same, you know, just joy of the moment, that joy that we get when we're in our sexual selves, and it's different. It's not having sex, and yet it's energy and it's creative and it's connected to that same place that we come from.
This is the thing that I know. When you catalyze the sex life of a human being, they will become more creative, more lively. There'll be a sparkle in their eyes, a spring in their step. Mm-hmm. It has an effect on every aspect of their life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it really is so much more than the orgasm. But I got a question for you. This is a practical question that, you know, obviously some of the listeners we might just. Now, okay, you guys are kind of getting esoteric for us, but what if we've been together for a long time and we feel like the spice has gone out of our relationship? Can Tantra Nova help us in that particular case?
Definitely. if the couple is open to engage in connecting with each other in the way as we, you know, speak about these practices. We just worked with a couple today that reported that they have gotten closer. I wouldn't say that the spies had gotten out altogether out of their relationship, but the intention coming to work with us was definitely fueled by wanting to become more intimately connected within and with each other. And they shared today that after, you know, 3-4 sessions over the last couple of months with homework, they go home and do homework, and they do intimate practices, sexual healing practices with each other, and communication practices and massage and body work practices and breathing practices, and that they both reported that they have gotten closer. And it's just, and they couldn't say, you know, because of one particular exercise, not like that. It was in the process, excuse me, of learning and connecting and becoming more aware of themselves and each other, that this space of intimacy arises.
Absolutely. Well, you know, that it does bring up an interesting question here. How is it that Tantra Nova differs from traditional Tantra?
Well, one of the things that we've done at Tantra Nova is we've taken the aspects of some of the yogic practices of the breathing and the meditation and working with sexual energy out of the tantric tradition, but we've eliminated the dogma, so we don't have a lot of the stories or the deities and so on. We've integrated with those practices some of the Western approaches to transformation in terms of creative self-discovery and generative language. And so we're integrating something new from something old in an approach to shifting really the samsara or the suffering that many of us live in on and off in our life. And I don't know that stuff stops happening. It just does. We don't. It doesn't stick around as long. That's the thing.
Yeah. Well, you get a lot of what you focus on, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, I want to make sure before we close, we've got a few more minutes here, but I just want to make sure before we close that we provide our listeners with an opportunity to contact both of you. Once again, we're speaking with Dr. Elspeth Moit and Freddie Zintel Weaver of Tantra Nova, which is based out of Chicago. But you can contact them on their phone number. Their phone number is 773-525-5006. That's 773-525-5006. And the website is tantranova.com. That's TANTRANOVA.com, tantranova.com. And if you visit the website, there's actually a place where you can sign up for the newsletter. And once you do, you'll get a free giveaway. It's called 10 Practices to Create Intimacy and Love. And I was very fortunate. I got the little handout here. I'm not going to tell you what it says because you have to sign up for the newsletter to get it. But I can tell you there's some very interesting things on it. Once again, it's 10 practices, and there's one about sex magic, one about hip rocking, something about yab yum, how to spoon to rejuvenate and reconnect after a hard day, eye gazing, gaining control of your love muscle, and anyway, so I think this is an excellent free gift, you guys, and I'm going to send all my Facebook friends over to sign up for your newsletter as well.
Thank you.
Let's talk just a little bit with our remaining time here about your book. It's called Sexual Intelligence, the Rosetta Stone of the 21st Century. And when's it coming out?
In 2013, so it's still a little while. But
a little while off, okay.
We have a lot of work to do.
Yes.
So
edit.
right. We call it the Rosetta Stone of the 21st century has to do with that it acts like an interpreter. The book, you know, acts as an interpreter of sexual intelligence because there is so much collective unconsciousness, so we need a translator. So it helps the purpose or the intent of the book is to translate this into modern, you know, understanding for the Western audience. And, you know, also this whole phenomenon we have been speaking about, the sexual energy, the life force energy, how can that be recognized and accessed and understood? So the intention of the book is really to bring that forth and how our life force energy creates our life and shapes our world.
Yes, and you also are going to give your readers step-by-step practices that can assist them in becoming aware of and connecting with their life force energy and then creating deeper and more meaningful relationships with the people around them.
Yeah.
I think that's fabulous. And I know we've talked a lot about creativity here, and Freddie, I wonder if there was anything more that you wanted to say about why sex and creativity are such intrinsic partners.
Well, the sex process is what brought our existence into being. And something as foundational and fundamental as that has got to be linked to anything else that we do that's creative. And that pleasure is a piece to that. It's like the same chemicals that change in our body when we're having sex are the same chemicals that they've measured when you're in a creative experience, dancing, looking at art, creating art, working on a new project in a creative experience, in that energy of that. It's the same energy. And so something, you know, it's funny because people listen to this and they go, oh, it sounds kind of woo-woo. Well, you know, the whole thing is woo-woo when you think that we evolved out of single-celled amoebas, the multi-celled organisms, to what we have now.
We're
the same elements as the stardust, and we can't even imagine a universe that goes on ad infinitum. I mean, we're so finite, you know. So
true.
We are just beginning to touch the beginning surface of what sexual energy is and what's possible in terms of drawing on that. Again, we're looking at it as a doorway to be more fulfilled in the few moments that we have in this foreverness of what is.
Absolutely.
So stay creative. Do what you can to be creative, you know. Keep tapping into your sexual energetic and learn ways to do that, to use as a doorway to get through the stuff that we don't see about how we're creating our life, to then consciously create our life. And, you know, this is our time now, you know, and we all play a role. We all have something very special, gift to offer, you know, and it's in listening. If I said, look, I don't care about people. I don't want to teach anybody anything. I just want to garden. I love to garden. Just leave me alone. I would garden with such love and enthusiasm that someone would pass by my garden and be inspired.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that spirit.
Mm. That it sounds like, yeah, really focused on the sacredness of everything that we do, really. Well, we're about out of time. Elspeth, was there anything that you wanted to add before we close?
I think I said it all. I'm so delighted to be here on this show with you and sharing.
You're a great host. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you. You guys are great guests. Very, very enamored with your work, as you know, and I really appreciate you gracing the Shame-Free Zone with your presence. And then when your book comes out in 2013, if we're all still here and the planet hasn't, you know, blown up or anything, I'd love to have you back on the show, and we'll promote your book.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you so, so much.
Oh, thank you. And again, to the listeners, if you want to contact Dr. Moit or Freddie Zintel, they are at tantranova.com. Mm-hmm. And next Monday, my guest is going to be Nicole Shapiro. We're going to be talking about ecstatic birth and what kind of a special interpretation Mother's Day can really have if we start looking at birth in a way that is more sacred than we do now. That's it from the Shame Free Zone for tonight, and I'll see you next Monday. Thanks.
Thank you for tuning in tonight. If you liked what you heard and you want more solutions for your love life, please call me toll-free at 888-903-0050. Once again, that number is 888-903-0050. I am the only person who answers that line, and I am usually available Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. You can also visit sexwithoutshame.com to discover more of what I can do for you. And remember, your secret is safe with me. Sering kesepian, kenapa tak mutus kabar berita?